Psalm 68 this evening. And as I was praying about this, and the Thanksgiving praise service is one of my favorite services, that and the Christmas candlelight service, and I was praying, I said, Lord, what do I preach on tonight? Because I just don't want to be the same old Thanksgiving service. I said, I already preached Thanksgiving on Sunday morning, so I kind of shot myself in the foot a little bit. I don't know, that's what the Lord wanted for Sunday morning. But I said, Lord, how can I present this in a way that's not the same old way that we hear every year? Because when we hear the same old way, it doesn't sink in as much and get to our heart. So I was praying, and I said, Lord, what would you have me do? And the Lord brought this thought to my mind. According to my word, what is a thankful person like? What is a thankful person like? Maybe you've thought of it. I've never really thought about it. So then I was talking with my wife about it, and we went and looked at some scriptures tonight. We're going to look at six different scripture passages tonight and look at the characteristics of a thankful person. If someone is truly thankful, what attributes will they have in their life? And tonight we're going to look briefly at these. As I said, it's only one page of notes, so I'm hoping this is going to go quickly. So we all know there's 6 points, Pastor, and we're going to be here a while. I'll try not to. I understand people have things to prepare. But we're having church, amen. And I asked that from Brother Scott last year. It was Wednesday night. Didn't go to church. There were no church services on Wednesday night. And was really, I think one had it on Tuesday night, I think. They moved it to Tuesday night. I understand giving people room to travel and things like that, but I think on Eve of Thanksgiving, we have to have church, amen. So, I'm never going to change that. I don't like it when people cancel Sunday services just because it's Christmas. You know, when it's Christmas Day, oh, I'm canceling Sunday night service. Oh, a lot of churches do that. And so, if your church does it, if you're visiting, I'm sorry, I'm not meaning to offend, but I think we ought to have church on Sunday night, amen. Sunday afternoon service is good. I don't mind that. That's good. Psalm 68, tonight we all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you have blessed this message tonight. And Lord, you have burdened my heart with these attributes, Lord, and searching myself to see if these attributes are there. And Lord, I pray that we would examine ourselves tonight, and Lord, we have given praise and thanks to Thee as we are to always do, dear Lord. We're so thankful that we hear these and are encouraged tonight. And Lord, I pray that perhaps there are some parts of our heart lurking on thankfulness. Maybe a part of our heart, Lord, that is not completely submitted to You. Maybe we don't have some of these attributes in our life, dear Lord, and I pray that You would grow them in our life and that You would change us, Lord. And that you would challenge us in this area. Bless us, we pray, and bless those who are traveling or are away with family. Pray that you'd be with them in a special way tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What is a thankful person like? What is a thankful person like? Maybe when you think of someone thankful, you have some ideas in your mind. Well, we're going to look at some verses tonight and some attributes of what a our thankful person is like. And number one tonight, a thankful person is humble. Is a humble person. Look at Luke chapter 17 and verse 16 tonight. Luke chapter 17 and verse 16 tonight. A person who is humble is one who gives thanksgiving. They are truly thankful for what they have instead of thinking that nothing is good enough for them. Have you ever met someone like that? That seems everything they have is not good enough for them, that they always have to have the latest thing. They always have to have the latest phone. They have to have the latest clothes. They have to have the latest car. They have to have the latest everything. You know, they sell their house every 5 years and get a new one because that is not new enough. Do people do that? Absolutely, yes, they do that. And that they have this attitude of, well, these things aren't good enough for me. Mom and Dad don't give me enough good things. The shoes that I have aren't good enough, so I need new ones. Well, what is that caused by? That's caused by pride. I deserve what is better than I have. I deserve something better than what I have right now. Look at Luke 17 and verse 16. Now this is the account of Jesus and the 10 lepers. That there were 10 lepers that had come to Jesus to be healed. Let's begin in, I think it's Luke 17. Yep, Luke 17, verse 16. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now let's back up a little bit to verse number 11. It came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go shew yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed, and one of them, 9, did not turn back to give thanks to the Lord. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said to him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So tonight, why did that Samaritan come back? Maybe the other 9 that were with him, they were all lepers. Maybe they thought, well, this is exactly what Jesus should do for people. I mean, he's the Son of God, or he is a great teacher, and he works these miracles, and he's been healing all these other people, and we deserve to be healed too. I don't know what was in their heart or their mind, but someone who was humble as this man was, a humble person will always give thanks to whom it is due. A humble person will always return to the person that gave them a gift and say thanks. And give thanks to the Lord. Do we give thanks to the Lord? Do we have a tendency to become unthankful? And trust me, it's easy to become unthankful. We live in the land of plenty. We live in the land of so many things, and actually our world is geared toward unthankfulness. The media is geared toward unthankfulness. The television commercials that we have are geared toward what? Unthankfulness, because they want you to buy it, right? That you need to get. Is the heat on over here? I'm hearing it. I think it's good. Yeah, Brother Cole, can you turn it off, please? I think it's running low. It's not igniting, so I hear it go, phew, phew. I don't want it to go boom a little more than it's supposed to. Okay. We can be thankful for that. Amen. Thank you. I know I'm hearing this banging sound. What is that? It's distracting me. But that was trying to ignite there. We're all safe. Don't worry. We're not going to blow up. It's okay. So, was that Roman? That's right. We'll be in heaven. Amen. Are you sure that you're safe tonight? Are you 100% sure if something happened to you right now? The gas explodes. Are you going to heaven? I'm serious. I mean, you never know what can happen. Thankful Brother Hammonds is still with us. Amen. I don't know what we'd do without you, brother. Amen. Thank the Lord gave you that wisdom there. But are we humble when it comes to what we have? It's amazing how unthankful we've become. I was listening to a preacher and he mentioned a video that was online how parents gave their 16-year-old son a vehicle. So it's his 16th birthday, and they were, you know, decently well off. They had a Hummer, and they had some, you know, nice vehicles, and had him blindfolded, and his little brother's taking the video. And this was put on, I think, last year or year before. And what happened is they gave him this old, beat-up $300 truck. But the truck owner ran. And what he does is he goes and he takes a baseball bat to it and says, how dare you give me something so cheap? You always make me look like a poor kid to all my friends. And he goes and literally takes a baseball bat to it and says, I don't want this. I'll never drive it. That's kids today, unfortunately. A lot of them. Thankful no one in here, right? No one like that. No one in here like that tonight. Amen. I hope, pray not. You know, when I just looked at that, and I don't recommend you go see it. I had to turn the volume off because I had some language in it. But I just wanted to see this. And it's just amazing to me. And I just sat there and I shuddered to think what would have happened to me if I had done that. I mean, I don't know if I'd be alive today. You know, I mean, I think some of you are kind of thinking that, yeah, man, I mean, I can't even think that way because I never thought that way. Oh, mom and dad, you know, never once. Now, were there temptations to be unthankful at Christmas time? Yes, but I was never, oh, mom, oh, you can keep it and throw it back at him. I don't want it. Do we do that with God? And what he gives us? God, I didn't ask, not what I asked for. My God is a fast food cook or something. Oh, I need that a little different. You know, when we go to McDonald's, and it's interesting how we go to fast food, and we ask for food that is fast, and then there's something wrong with it. It doesn't have enough salt on. The fries are cold. And we say, hey, my fries need to be warm. Mrs. Harvey's great at that. Hey, my fries need to be warm, right? We're good. You know, we have to have it ready to go. You got to be on your toes. And I know, and then we paid money for it, right? But at the same time, it's fast food, right? There's going to be mistakes made sometimes. She only does it, I mean, one time they were still frozen, I think. I think they took them out of the fryer too soon or something. She's like, these were cold in the middle and everything. But that's our mentality. Well, that's not good enough. It can be better. Instead of being thankful for what we have, that's a pride problem. It's that humbleness before God. A thankful person is a humble person. There's no way to be proud of yourself and thankful. It's not possible. To be proud and thankful, the two are against each other. The second attribute of a thankful person is that they're joyful. Look at Psalm 69 and verse 30. Psalm 69 and verse 30. They are joyful. Thankful people are joyful people. And we've had some joy tonight. We've had some joy in giving thanks to God. But a thankful person, and we emphasize this, that Thanksgiving is not just the third Thursday in November every year. It's not just the day that we eat turkey. It's not just the day that we eat cranberry sauce. How many like cranberry sauce? Right. Split, divided vote there. Let me ask you this. What is cranberry sauce? That's a good question. What is it? And sugar. And a lot of gelatin. Psalm 69 and verse 30. Does it have gelatin in it? I think it does. Yes. Homemade cranberry sauce. That's different. From the can. I mean, refried beans from a can. Stir it up and eat it. It's like Spam. Psalm 69 and verse 30. We need to be thankful for all things. It's food. Amen. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Now, all through the Scriptures, especially in the Psalms and Proverbs, all throughout the Old Testament, it talks constantly about giving praise to God in song. And we're going to get to that in a moment. But a joyful person is someone who sings. Did you know that? If you're joyful, then you're going to be a singing person. Said, Pastor, you don't understand. I can't carry a tune in a buck. I'm not saying you sing in front of people. I'm glad Mrs. Harvey mentioned that tonight, that she just sings and gives praise to God. Why? There's joy in that. Singing is communication. And you know, in church, you know, you can always tell there's a joyful church and a joyful spirit. Because you have people that are there and they're holding their hymnal. And I love people that sit in the front row. The front two rows, because I can see what they're doing. And I can see, and, you know, some are there, you know, they're singing the great songs, you know, more love to thee, the old account was settled, you know, 245, they're singing, oh, the old account was settled, right? And they're singing it with joy, got a smile on their face, and there's those that, there was a time on earth, when in the book of heaven, you know, and just kind of, you know, I wish I could be doing something else right now. That's not a joyful person. You know what? Be thankful that you can sing. Be thankful you have a church to sing in. Be thankful that you have a God to sing to. Be thankful that you have salvation to sing about. And that's a thankful person, is a joyful person. If you can't sing with joy, you've lost something. If you can't sing with a smile on your face, then you've lost something. You're all thinking Sunday morning, I'm going to be singing with a smile now. Pastor's looking now. I'm a people watcher. I watch people. In service, before service, around service. So maybe pastor didn't notice. I probably did. Mrs. Harvey did. But Mrs. Harvey's a people watcher too. That's why we get along as well. We like watching people. And when they speak of the love of the, that the Father has for them. And they're joyful about it. You know, it's amazing to hear some of the testimonies all through them. God loves me. God loves my family. And God gave us so much. That's joy. And people that go and they buy the new iPhone 10, they go out tomorrow on Black Friday. Or, I'm sorry. They go out on Friday, but a lot of them go out tomorrow. People go out tomorrow and after they eat their Thanksgiving dinner, you know, while it's still settling in their stomach, and they go out and they fight the crowds and they go and they find the best deal possible. I mean, they found an iPhone 10, $30 off regular price. I mean, this is amazing. It's still $900, but it's okay. You know, and they get it. And they have it in their hand, and man, this is exciting! And then they find out, just like other iPhones, it just looks a little different. Okay, and they have it, and they're so happy. But what happens next week? Man, I don't like this thing. Man, it does this and it does that. You know the new craze of these new phones that come out is interesting. Then you see the follow-up articles. Oh, they have this problem. Oh, they have this problem. Oh, they do this. That's happiness. It'll change depending on whether your iPhone 10 is working or not working, or whether you like it or don't like it. But joy no one can take away from you. Joy no man can take away. And true joy only God can give. How do we have true joy? Because God provides for us. God gives salvation. God gives our daily needs. God gives strength. God gives wisdom. God gives truth. God gives us everything that brings joy in our life. So if we're a truly thankful person, then we're going to be a joyful person. Also, number three, we're going to be a giving person. Leviticus 22:29. And if you notice, if you take a study and looking at the verses concerning Thanksgiving, and there are a lot of them in the Bible, you will see almost every single verse something. You will see give, 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 bring, give. Over and over and over and over again. Leviticus 22:29. And when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. That's an interesting thought. That when we give an offering to the Lord, what does God say? That we should give it willingly, not of necessity, or not give it grudgingly, but not of necessity, but willingly, for God loveth what? A cheerful giver. If you're thankful, then you're going to give. They say, well, thankful means I'm thankful for what I have, but how can I be thankful for something I'm giving away? Because when we're thankful for what we have, we want others to have the same joy of what we have. We want to give back to God all that He has given to us. We want to give to others so that they can know the love of God as well. And we have a sacrifice, an offering to God of thanksgiving. And this was actually a sacrifice that they would give in the law. They would give a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Just, Lord, a thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for the bountiful harvest. Thank you for my family. And they would actually give a sacrifice. They would give of their substance to the Lord. They sacrifice of what God had given them to give to others, to those who are in need, but also to God's house, because they are thankful for what they have, and they have no problem giving it to others. Selfish people always look for ways to keep what they have because they think that they do not have enough. Think about that. People who do not give, people who don't tithe, people that don't give the missions, people that don't help the needy, people that want to keep everything. Why? Well, I just don't have any spare to give because they think they do not have enough. Well, there's a problem when you think you don't have enough. Look at 1 Timothy 6:10. There's a problem with that because you'll never get enough to satisfy. You'll never have enough money. And I said, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't have enough to support my family. God doesn't just tell us to give out of our abundance. The widow gave out of all that she had. The two mice, she not just gave some, she gave literally all that she had. Even what she needed for her necessities, even what she needed for bread. And she gave to God all that she had. And you know, we wonder, how did she get to that place? Ever think about that? Ever think how she got to that place? Because she had a long time ago decided that God always took care of her when she gave his all, her all to him. That she found out a long time ago. She was a widow. She didn't have anything. She probably did not have anyone to support her. But she had God to take care of her. And she decided a long time ago that when she gave it all to God, God took care of her. Amen. That's what all Christians are to do. To give it all to the Lord and he'll take care of you. Well, I just don't have enough. Then you will never be satisfied. Never will. I'll have enough money. I'll tithe when I have enough money. I'll give to God when I have enough money. You never will have enough money. You never will. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Because they coveted after what? Money. And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I love the descriptions of the Bible. You read other versions, they dumb down this verse. Pierce themselves through with many sorrows. You know, the only reason you copyright the Bible is to make money off of it, by the way. Pierce yourselves through with many sorrows. Thankfully, the King James Version isn't copyrighted. Amen. Freely given to all. Because God gave it to us, we should give it to others for free. I understand you have to pay for publishing and all these things, but still, so thankful for ministries that give the Bible away for free to people that need it. Pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Now, how many of you have ever seen those long mesquite thorns? Have you seen those? Yeah, the real long ones. Now, I'm not talking about the baby ones. I'm talking about these ones. And they are very, very dense wood, and they don't break very easily. I actually found out when we took out some trees in the back. I was walking out there. It was on a Sunday morning, and I was just walking back there to check on something, and there were a couple of these thorns. It was in a V, like this, on the ground. And I found out that mesquite thorns go right through your Sunday shoes. Oh, yeah, and that didn't feel good. Went right in my heel. Didn't go in very far, thankfully, because as I felt, I didn't push it in all the way. But whenever I think of pierce themselves through with many sorrows, just imagine taking those nice, long mesquite thorns and just putting right through your hand. And doing it over and over and over and over again. And, you know, you do that to someone, they're going to take you to the mental hospital and say, you're nuts. What's wrong with you? There's something not right with you. Something wrong. But that's the same thing people do that lust after money. Because guess what? Heartache after heartache after heartache after heartache comes. And they just keep going back for more. They don't get it. Why is this happening to me? Because of your love for money. Because you don't have enough. When you covet after something, you're never satisfied when you get it. But a thankful person will be a giving person. A thankful person is also a spiritually mature person. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. If you are unthankful, then you are not mature spiritually. We are babes in Christ. If you are unthankful, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7, and sometimes we get after our kids for being unthankful. We should teach our children to be thankful, by the way. But we don't understand sometimes how they can be unthankful. Don't they understand? No, they don't understand. They don't understand what it is to be without. They don't understand the position of others. I guess for me, when I look at people that are unthankful, I've been in third world countries, and I was like, man, we have a lot in America. We have a lot. Been to Africa, been to Honduras. Even compared to Australia, we have a lot. You know, in Australia, they don't have Walmarts on every corner. Every town has one supermarket and maybe a couple little convenience stores. That's about it. Here, we have like four, I think we have four Walmarts in this town alone. two Super Walmarts and two country markets, and that's not including Harker Heights has its own Super Walmart. Coppers Cove has its own Super Walmart. That's six Walmarts. For 200,000 people. That's a lot. And yet, we still want more. Ought to be thankful. A spiritually mature person is thankful. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as He had been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So you've been rooted. Got to have a good foundation if you're going to build something. And then, built up, you've grown. And not only that, you've grown to a point that you're established in the faith. That no one is going to get you off of what you believe. It takes some time to do that. That's why we pray for these young Christians when they first get saved. Because guess what? They're not rooted. They're not established yet. But you need to root them down. Show them where to go. Get them in the Bible. Get them rooted down. And then they start growing. And then when that time comes, when they have to make a decision to do right or compromise, guess what? They have enough faith in God's Word that they do the right thing. And we must get, and that's our goal with our children, to grow them to that point. Because when they get 18, 19 years old, they go off to college, and if they haven't been rooted, and they haven't grown, and they haven't been established, and then they're going to go out by the wayside. Established. As ye have been taught. Oh, so it requires learning. It requires to be taught by God's Word, to be taught by the church, to learn. And when you've been abounding therein, when you've been growing and abounding, guess what? It makes you thankful. Amen? Makes you thankful. Makes you thankful for what you learned. Makes you thankful for what people have taught you. Makes you thankful for what God has done for you. And thankful that you're not the way you used to be. Amen? That's what happens when you grow. You're thankful that you're not the way you used to be before you got saved. As Brother Penland mentioned, they weren't always saved. And thankful that they are, and they now are. And they've grown in the faith. Amen? I mean, there are times that we must remember, hey, guess what? We weren't always saved. Young person, well, I've always been saved. You better check something. Amen? Well, I've always been saved. As long as I can remember, I've been saved. I understand some young people get saved when they're young, and that's good. But make sure. That's a decision that you understood. Because I never remembered a time that I wasn't saved when I was a teenager growing up. And I found out that I wasn't saved. I wasn't at all until I was 21 to figure that out. I pray young people would not wait so long. But I was stubborn. I was one of, oh, I know I'm saved, and I wasn't sure. But a spiritually mature person will what? They'll spend their time talking to the Lord about their thankfulness to Him and walking with God. That spiritually mature person, they have a thankful prayer life. They come before God with thanksgiving. They bring their supplications with what? Thanksgiving, according to Philippians. They're mature. They'll also intercede for others and their needs. And they cease not to praise God. And that brings us to attribute number 5. They're full of praise. Look at Psalm 100 and Psalm 147. Look at Psalm 100 first. Psalm 100 in verse number 4. Great psalm to memorize, only 5 verses long. So, Pastor, I can't memorize a whole chapter. Yes, you can, only 5 verses long right here. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and what? Bless His name. Give praise. As I mentioned earlier, giving praise in the Bible is mentioned over and over and over again. It is mentioned in song. It is mentioned in giving of sacrifice and of giving verbal praise. We should never cease as Christians to give praise. We should give praise in the praise services of the church, absolutely. But people that are even lost that we know, we ought to be giving God the credit. And that's where they ask you, well, why are you the way you are? Well, I guess I'm just lucky, I suppose. Isn't that what the world says? I'm just lucky, I suppose. No, why are you the way you are? Why are you different? Because Jesus Christ saved my soul. Because I used to be a lost person. I used to be unthankful. I used to be unhappy. But now I have true joy in Jesus. I can't, I have to give him praise every single moment of the day. Nothing that I am today is because of me. It's all because of God. If you think for one moment that anything that you have right now is because of you, you're unthankful. If we think for any moment that I've now self-made person, you're unthankful. Because God made you what you are today if you're saved. God provided for you. God made you what you are. And we should never forget that. We should be full of praise. We will praise in song, in word, and in deed. You know that we can act unthankful? You know what? Maybe we never said it, but you know what happened when you were a kid and you got that present that you weren't expecting, right? It was an unexpected present, and it wasn't on your list of things. And how many of you got down, you went through the big stack of presents, or maybe the small stack of presents, but the stack of presents at Christmas Day, and you're just waiting for that one gift, and you get the first one. It's not in the first one. It's not in the second one. It's not in the fifth one. And now you're on the last one. Oh, it's got to be in here. How many have been there? No one's been there? Okay, maybe it's just me. You get down, you're expecting that one, you have your heart set on it, and then you open it up, and it's grandma's socks. Or it's something, or it's a tie, or, hey, that's a great braid, that's a wonderful sweater that you can wear somewhere, sometime. Not your favorite color, and you look at it, and what happens? What's the matter, honey? Nothing. Is everything? I'm fine. Are you thankful? Well, it wasn't what I was expecting, right? You know, because our body language, our actions communicated we weren't thankful. Are we thankful for what God has given to us? Are we thankful for what others give to us? Do we give God the praise, or do we give ourselves the praise? If we give ourselves the praise, we're being unthankful for what God has done. That brings us to our last attribute. A thankful person is a good steward. Look at 1 Timothy 6:20. 1 Timothy 6:20. A thankful person is a good steward. This last passage, and then I'm done for tonight. 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. When we realize that all that we have is given to us, that God has given it to us, amen, all that we have, we're going to be good stewards of it. When we are truly thankful for something, we're going to take care of it. Maybe there was a gift that you were given in your lifetime that is a precious gift. It was something that someone gave to you that's very special. I'm wearing one of them right now. This watch my wife gave to me on our wedding day. This is a precious gift. It's not very expensive, but it's important to me. And it has a nice engraving here on it. And you know what? I was thankful for it, and I still am. And I take care of it. I'm a good steward of it because my wife gave it to me. I never want it lost. I never want it damaged. And I'm never going to loan it to anybody because this is a special gift, something special to me. Anything that we're truly thankful for, we're going to take care of. I'll never forget when our family was in need growing up and we were in need of a vehicle, and we didn't have money for it, and my grandma bought us a car. I'll never forget that. It was only, the car was only 1 year old, and my grandma gave us the money for it. And man, my parents are thankful. And my dad was thankful. He was a good steward of that car. And that car was, we kept that car, I think, 13 years almost. That car almost hit 250,000 miles. And it didn't break down. We sold it to somebody else, and they got in an accident with it, ended up in the junkyard. My dad was kind of frustrated about that, but it's okay. But he took care of that car. I mean, he was faithful in taking, being a good steward of that engine, being a good steward of all the parts of that vehicle. And man, if we drove it when we learned to drive, if we drove it, hey, Don't hit the accelerator so hard. Take care of the car. Don't go over bumps so fast. You're going to ruin the suspension. He wasn't, yeah, he was that bad, but it was okay. He wanted to teach us to take care of it. And he took care of that vehicle, and that vehicle took care of us. Because it was a gift. He was thankful for it. And these are earthly possessions that we're thankful for. But here, Paul is writing to Timothy to keep that which is committed to thy trust. What is that? That's the doctrines of the Word of God. The truths of salvation, the truths of living daily life, the truths that were taught to him as a preacher. Be a good steward of them. If we're truly thankful for the Bible, then we're going to be a good steward of it. We're going to learn it. We're going to love it. And then we're going to share it with others. If we're truly thankful for it, we're going to read it. We covered this Sunday morning a little bit. If you're thankful for God's Word, then you're going to read it. It's going to be a precious gift for you. Do you realize besides Jesus Christ's death on the cross, this is the greatest gift that God has ever given to man? His Word. Amen. This book is precious, and sometimes we think of it as a book instead of the living Word of God. We treat it as a book like any other, as a textbook, and it's not a textbook. It's God's message to you, day by day, moment by moment. Our strength and all that we need is right here. Even if we were taught to read and we never read another book, we never read another book of math, we never read another history book, we never read anything else, and we only read the Word of God, we would have all that we need. And the kids or the wheels are turning now. No, you need to do your work. Brother Hammonds, I'm not promoting, not school. Okay, I'm making sure you know that. No, I'm still promoting school, but if we were in that situation, would we be able to make it through life with just the Bible? Absolutely yes. Oh, but that's not a popular thought today. We've got to have our self-help books. You know, how to do everything for dummies. Right? We need to have Wikipedia. We need to have everything. We have to have the internet to live. Man, I can't live without the internet. I can't look it up on YouTube to figure out how to do it. What happened if there was an internet blackout? I think half of our country, they would go into hysteria. Because they couldn't go ask WikiHow how to do it. They couldn't go to Lowe's and Home Depot websites. They couldn't read their blog to find out how to live life. So sad. But it's true. We have God's Word. Are you a good steward of it? Are you a good steward of the truth? Are you a good steward of your possessions? Are you a good steward of your talents? I look at young people, I look at different people throughout my life. And I remember those that had great abilities. That they had such great potential to serve God. They have great musical gifts. Great gifts of speech. They had such a great gift. Notice I'm using that in the past tense. That people that have had such musical abilities in piano, organ, violin, you name it. Such great, beautiful gifts. But because they didn't use them, were taken away. Because they didn't give God the glory for them, God took them away. And young people, don't ever overlook the talent God gave you. Because it's always interesting, it's the person that has the talent that isn't thankful for it, but the person who doesn't have it is thankful for it for the other person. Isn't that interesting how that works? Man, I wish I had that! I wish I had that ability! Man, I always look at people that can stand up on stage, you know, like Brother Gibbs, and get up there and sing. Man, I wish I could sing like that. You know, and I try, but I think I fall very short of that. I mean, I wish I'd get up there and sing like Brother Hammonds, but I fall way short of that. I need my wife to make me sound good. But so many, it's like, well, my gifts, my talent is not such a big deal. See, people that have artistic ability or different things like that. Or just gifts with people. You know, don't you love people that they just go and they can just talk to anybody? I wish I had that. I don't have that. I have a certain set of pre-recorded, pre-set up things to say. you know, because I'm not an outgoing person. And I have to, as a pastor, you know, you're always the social person. I fake it. I do real good, okay? I fake it. The Lord has taught me some things. But people, they just go and have this personality. You know, it's stressful to me. I'm like, what do I say next? What do I say next? But some people, it's just natural to them. And they just go, like Brother Hammonds, I mean, he can just make anyone feel at home. When he goes out soul winning, he just talks to people like, man, I wish I could do that. I guess maybe someday I pray that I will. And different people, they just have that personality to be able to engage people and talk to people and encourage people. And it's just so effortless to them. Don't overlook that gift. Be a good steward of that talent. Don't ever overlook what God has given to you. Any talent, any gift. And I'm just talking about a couple of different ones. There are so many gifts represented in here. Be a good steward of them. Some people have the gift of organizing. Some people have the gift of electrical work, which I don't have. I'm just praying the shed won't burn down. It shouldn't. That's why we have circuit breakers, right? Anyway. What is a thankful person like? They're humble. They're joyful. They're giving. They're spiritually mature. They're full of praise and they're a good steward. And these are just some. I could go on and on and on. As a pastor, please don't. We could go on and on with the characteristics of a thankful person. But maybe one of those has struck a chord in you and said, you know, well, that's not me. If that's not you, then there's something we need to take care of tonight. If that's not you, then that's something that we need to pray and ask God, help me with that. I need to be more thankful in this area of my life.